The National Collaborative on Gun Violence Research, funded by the RAND Corporation, recently announced its first round of funding for gun violence research. $10 million went to 17 projects that will investigate gun violence ranging from suicides to officer-involved shootings. Andrew Morrell, director of the National Collaborative, says the goal of the funding is to end up informing gun policy.
To pursue a mission of funding and disseminating objective nonpartisan research on gun violence prevention and gun policy that could be used to inform policies that are fair and effective in this country and to help policymakers understand what the likely effects of different policies are.
Morrell says one of the biggest grants awarded to a project involving a University of Delaware researcher will help answer some of the basic questions that have not been thoroughly researched due to a lack of funding.
We don't know very much about how young people get their guns, what their specific motivations are for carrying. And we really got to understand these kinds of things before we're going to be able to have effective interventions.
Dr. Yasser Payne, along with Dr. Elise White of the New York-based Center for Court Innovation, received $1.6 million to study the social and cultural roots of gun violence in five U.S. cities. Payne is an associate professor of sociology and criminal justice at UD. He's worked for years with residents of Wilmington's Southbridge and Eastside neighborhoods to study their communities. With the new grant, he's taking the research to other cities.
So we're very interested in understanding gun violence, particularly from the perspective, phenomenological perspective, of 16 to 24. Four-year-olds, young people with experiences with gun violence. All right, so we want to actually collect 750 participants in five cities, right? So about roughly 150 participants in each city: Baltimore, New York, Detroit, New Orleans, and Las Vegas. Right, and what we really want to do is we want to do surveys and interviews, but we're going to definitely survey and interview to some extent all 750 folk in each of these, you know, for across five cities.
The research will probe several basic questions.
We want to understand also the culture around gun violence, like what gets them into it, have a better understanding of access to guns, like where are the guns coming from?
Payne says the research will also test a more controversial hypothesis.
We have a theory called sites of resilience, which we've been testing down here in Wilmington, and we'll test in these other cities as well. Sites of resiliency theory argues that street life, in this case gun violence, is a site of resilience. Now that is blasphemous in the academy and perhaps every place else too, right? So when we say street life or gun violence is resilient, what we don't mean is that gun violence is a good thing. In fact, I've never met anyone that shot or killed someone in my research that's ever said anything like that. Right? Like, I've never met anybody that thought selling crack cocaine was a good thing, who sold crack cocaine. All right, but resilient. So how does it allow you to thrive and survive? How does it allow you to protect yourself and your loved ones? Right? Why is gun violence a way to solve problems? And also, we have to talk a lot about, what do we have to do to reduce it? Right? And sites of resiliency theory forces us into Johann Galtung's structural violence theory, right? So we'll be talking a lot about structural violence theory also as it relates to gun violence. Structural violence theory comes out in 1969, and in short, it just means when structural institutions or structural systems intentionally prevent individuals, groups, or communities from meeting their basic needs, right? And or forcing people, groups, and communities into structural inequality for the success of everybody else, right? So we want to begin to explore with them their awareness around, because what's your awareness? I can tell you the awareness of the average student about these kind of dense and abstract issues, right? And what we've been finding thus far is, no, they're pretty aware, at least in the cities that we've been in, but we want to continue to test this. Like, so I would love to get out in West Baltimore. What is your understanding of this poverty, right? That's obviously what is fueling the violence. And then through this discussion on structural violence, we want to speak with them in all five cities about their attitudes, perspectives, and or experiences with civic and political leadership. What the shooters, if you will, in Baltimore, let's say, think about their mayor or an Elijah Cummings, for instance. And that's how we've been testing it already in different cities.
Payne's research uses a very specific method he calls Street Participatory Action Research, or Street PAR. He first used the method studying street communities in New York and New Jersey and honed it in Wilmington.
So Street Participatory Action Research is when you take populations or members of the population that you're interested in studying and put them on your research team. PAR is a methodology, didn't create it. And then I created Street PAR because I noticed nobody was working with the guys in the streets in the way they were working with other populations. I, as a doc student, was like, who's working with the guys on the street corners? Like, what's going on? Like, we need to give them this. Really? Would they be interested? Oh, my goodness. And why are we not thinking like this, like, in terms of, like, real help or solid intervention? So I began adapting the model to work with them.
He says in the new project, he'll recruit his team of on-the-ground researchers through existing organizations working on gun violence in the cities, such as local Cure Violence chapters.
Right, so they're already organized, they're already ready to go, they're already working with the shooters in their neighborhoods. We're going to bring the overlay, if you will, of Street PAR. We don't just want you doing intervention, we just don't want you doing collecting data for the researchers in your cities or elsewhere. We want to train you to be the researchers, too. And show and demonstrate what you can get out of this data, what everyone else is getting out of it, right? But now it's your data.
A key element of Payne's participatory action research is helping community researchers share their data through activism.
But we would love for them to be doing street art exhibitions. We would love for them to show up at city council like we do, you know, and present their data or whatever other issue they want to grapple with. We would love for them to throw local barbecues in the neighborhoods like we do. It was, you know, and everything has to be tied to the data, the barbecue, the art exhibition, the city council, or the meeting with whomever.
He says while the project aims to illuminate why young people get involved with gun violence, it won't compare participants to a control group of people who have stayed uninvolved.
With that said, yes, we will be inquiring a lot, survey and interviews, about why, how a person, particularly in his or her experience in the street, how do you evolve to a point where, you know, but take us kind of through the steps and we can maybe identify 2, 3, or 4 kinds of factors, if you will, you know, maybe key experiences. I don't know. We'll learn from the interviews and the survey data, you know. So one thing we'll be looking at, I'm very interested, and I learned this from the Wilmington study, to be honest with you. The shooters, the more violent guys, particularly as a form of identity. We were talking about this just as a team. More than likely, I'm willing to bet those guys, that 1-4% that Kennedy talks about, have an extraordinarily strained relationship with their parents. Your experiences with your parents, right, leads to all kinds of behavior, good and bad. But definitely a lot of the guys in the streets, abandoned by their parents or mom or father or just really tough relationships. We haven't tested it yet, but every time we turn around, like, you know, among the more violent participants, they really had, you know, this kind of just unbelievably tough relationship, you know, maybe, and then not to mention maybe there was physical or sexual abuse. So, to me, that is one marker that separates the shooter in most instances from the non-shooter, you know. But we'll learn, yes. So we will be asking why or what produces it. From their perspective, you know, for them to come up with a kind of theoretical model, meaning particularly the PAR members now.
Because your methodology is so grounded in individual communities and the perspective of those who live there, how much can you draw nationwide conclusions from any of the data, specifically things like, why does this happen? Are there specific markers that lead to someone's involvement? Do you think that your data from each city can be extrapolated?
So I do think there are local differences that are hard to account for, right? And that's one thing I've learned in doing the work over the last 10 years. So the reason why we're collecting hundreds and hundreds of surveys, because we're trying to make our arguments generalizable, you can do what's more like classic ethnography or qualitative research where you're maybe interviewing a few dozen people, and you can get a lot of good information out of that, but it's not generalizable. We do that too, though, the interview stuff. But the reason why we're complementing the interview data with these large survey data sets is because it's the survey data sets where we can speak more, right? We don't do random sampling, right? So random sampling and experimental designs speak to causality. Any other research project is correlative. or suggestive. Now, you can do what we will eventually do, something called quasi-experimental designs, which speaks much more to causality, but because you're in a neighborhood and you got the car honking down there and you can't control for all the variables in this space, you can never do an experimental design in any of these neighborhoods in the country. Right? It's just you can't control for what's going on down the block, and that it may affect how someone responds, right, one way or the other. So yes, it won't speak to causality, if that's what you mean, but it will be generalizable, where it'll be very meaningful, strongly suggestive. We'll begin to see trends, particularly through the data, across the five sites. We can begin to see what's more local in terms of gun violence phenomenon, and what are the trends that are cutting across.
Dr. Yasser Payne's national research will take 3 years, rolling out in New York and Baltimore first. In the meantime, a report on his current research in Wilmington's North and West Sides, building on the research in Southbridge and East Side, is expected next year. Sophia Schmidt, Delaware Public Media.